I don't usually like doing shouty posts or shouty podcasts because the negativity that can go around them, it's not good, not really good for anyone's health. However, if a public authority, whether that being the main council or a CCO, such as Auckland Transport, although Auckland Transport is not in this case, attracts my ire, then it will attract my ire and feel the full weight of it, whether it's through a presentation, direct conversation, or through a shouty podcast. This afternoon, in which I'll be in attending and live tweeting as much as I can out of it, the Auckland Development Committee meets for the final time this year, and one of the items on the agenda today is to ratify and adopt the final version of the Otara Papatoa Area Plan, which includes the Manukau City Centre area, a metropolitan centre zoned area under the proposed Auckland Unitary Plan. And one of my focus areas and pet projects. Now, when the draft version of the area plan went out for consultation earlier this year, at the time I had given the presentation where I had given it my public endorsement of the area plan and praised the local board and its planners around it. Fast forward to now, and now the area plan now attracts my derision to the point that I would call for the Auckland Development Committee to absolutely reject and shelve the area plan today until the new long-term plan goes into operation in July next year and the new Auckland Development CCO comes into play starting from September next year. So the question is, why have I gone from praise to absolute derision and gone from supporting and wanting it to be passed to now absolutely rejecting it and having it shelved until the LTP and the new development CCO are both on stream? Well, it all comes down to Kemu 3, Centres, Business and Recreation, of which the transition Manukau from a city centre to a vibrant metropolitan centre, in other words, it's the Manukau City Centre just being upgraded, it's just planning speak there. And it's come in both the projects and initiatives over the next 5 years that have been identified and meant to be supposedly funded, and the aspiration projects and initiatives over the next 6 to 30 years that give effect to Kemu 3 but are unfunded in this period of time and are unfunded in the LTP. Now, in the draft version, I've got both versions up in the blog. The first is the draft version, the second is the version going up for adoption today. In the first version, we look to the projects and initiatives over the next 5 years. All of these I supported in my submission to the area plan, as well as the aspirational projects. I supported all of them. I don't think I brought any of them forward into the projects over the next 5 years. That was due to developing a comprehensive master plan for the Manukau City Centre first before driving the projects forward, and probably also weighing in mind that the LTP was starting to be drafted at the time and we don't know which way the funding was going to fall. That said, it also didn't realise Manukau would become a spatial priority area at the time, which usually are about 5 years long, so that creates another new dynamic which I'll cover off later on in this podcast. So in the draft, we had things like they're working with the Manukau Central Business Association, who I've worked with before in their unitary plan submission, and leveraging off future opportunities to develop a master plan for the Manukau City Centre, and to inform which would inform the future development, including Hayman Park, Ronald Avenue, and Cavendish Drive. This needs to be ideally done first before you proceed down to the rest of the projects and project and initiatives, apart from 3.2. And also you need to do 3.1 before you can do feed into the projects and the aspirations list as well. So this would become a master plan. Now, this is still continuing to go ahead under the adoption, unless the Auckland Development Committee does reject it, and I still say it should reject it. So basically, we've got a delay of a year. But where it automatically falls over, as does the rest of the area plan for Kemu 3, when we get down to the next bit, 3.2. In the draft plan that went out for submission, it was stated that the construction of a new bus interchange and associated future transit-orientated development within the Manukau Metropolitan Centre. That is Lot 59, which I talked on yesterday, which I've linked into the blog for your reference. Go to the plan. Go to the plan that's to be adopted, that the committee looks to adopt today and should reject, and it all falls around this one. Nothing else. Everything else falls into place. But without this, everything technically falls apart. Either falls apart for this Key Move 3, or they were wider social initiatives that were happening under the Southern Initiative anyway and have no direct, technical direct placemaking direct relation to Manukau at any point in case. So 3.2 in the final version today is construction of the new bus interchange within the Manukau Metropolitan Centre. The area plan has dropped the part where associated transit-orientated development within the Manukau Metropolitan Centre. That part's been dropped out of the area plan, and is the one of the key reasons why I call for the plan today to be absolutely and utterly rejected and delay, and thus shelved and amended until September next year, when the new development CCO kicks off and can take over looking after Manukau, which was a transformational project. The other transformational project in Auckland was the city centre itself. And so what's happened is that with the transit-orientated development virtually abandoned, the council has virtually abandoned again southern Auckland around through and not being an active lead agency and developing what would be the first piece of large-scale urban renewal in the Manukau City Centre, the core of South Auckland, which then would flow on into the rest of southern Auckland over time. So through abandoning the transit-orientated development, we've lost basically what would have been, again, the starting project that would have led on to 3.3, although that cannot be technically done until the unitary plan goes live, because the parking development and controls for the properties inside Manukau are controlled through that, and you can't really do it on the roadside yet until we know what the development controls are and how that would influence on street parking anyway. But for the 3.4, 3.5, they basically fall over in themselves as the key point, the key starter, which was in 3.2, the Todd development, didn't happen because it would have been the kickoff. It would have allowed the rest of it to fall into play. Now, the reason why the Todd has probably fallen off is because of owing to budget constraints and an absolute crap LTP, thanks to the mayor, where we've now got a so-called budget situation and we're scrambling to look for money. What had happened earlier this year through the Finance Performance Committee is that ACPL, so Auckland Council Property Limited, which own the land, is now in the progress of selling off the yellow areas inside Lot 59 and flipping it over for full private development with the so-called pretext that the council will be alongside with their urban design team, so that's Ludo's team, to ensure we get quality development. That's, I said that in parenthesis. Now, the interchange will still go ahead, although we're waiting back on Official Information Act request from both ATN Council itself to see whether the project is going ahead next year or whether the project has actually been delayed 6 years. So even 3.2 in the final version today is actually uncertain, because if it has been delayed 6 years, it technically kicks it into the aspirational 6 to 30 year projects. So council, through selling the land for a short gain instead of hanging on to it and going for the draft version, which was the construction of the bus interchange and the transit oriented development, have effectively screwed themselves over and basically thrown the area plan into the air until we know what's going on. You see, if they carried 3.2 from the draft version over into this version, so that's the construction of the bus interchange and allowing the transit-oriented development to happen around it on Lot 59. Now, this is whether AT would have proceeded with their version of the Todd, as I've linked up in their preferred master plan, which wouldn't even go ahead now, and if the adopted version goes through without the Todd development, because it's thrown out to the private sector, and they're not obliged to do what council tells them to do in the urban design parameters because it's non-binding. Or whether council would have put the whole thing up into the air and done something more, a stronger Todd development, something like maybe I drew up and walked through yesterday's podcast. It wouldn't have mattered which one would have happened, but both would have happened and allowed the interchange to happen, but also allowed the Todd to happen, the Todd being a mixed-use residential commercial service, that's retail hospitality, commercial office, and if they had their brains about them, bringing Te Papa out of Hayman Park to stop chewing up our green space, what limited green space we have, and bringing it into a already developing and later developed area. So civic education plus civic recreation through plazas and green space, they would have been in the Todd development. But now none of this can happen if 3.2 goes ahead today. Now, some of you asked the question, I've already asked it through the Official Information Act request I've sent to the Auckland Council, specifically the CF, the Chief Financial Officer in the Mayoral Office, is, well, what happens to the $15 odd million from the Manukau Lot 59 land sales? Wouldn't that fund the interchange? Well, if so, then Auckland Transport wouldn't be screaming, saying that due to lack of funding, the thing has been, unless we get reallocation or a new source of funding, the thing is shelved from 2015 next year to 2021 under the basic transport network options. So that suggested to me that the $15 million is not being put to the interchange. The cost is $19 million, so basically we would have only had to look for an extra $4 million, which is not much, and you could have got it through the targeted rates in the area for a couple of years. But using that money, if we were to sell the land, to fund the interchange means it could have been built next year rather than the delay. So council has already screwed over the area plan in regards to Manukau through short-sightedness and other committees, and thus has technically failed Southern Auckland, and it's through its short-sightedness rather than being going through a more collaboration approach with the wider CCOs and with the wider community as such. Because the other option is, and as I've mentioned before, the council hung on to the land and through the new Auckland Development CCO developed the land itself to develop both the interchange and the Todd, and the money gained from lease, ground rent and rent from the commercial services, commercial office, residential and civic education, that money could have been used to put back, pay off the loan for the bus interchange with no effect on our rates whatsoever. Thus, we would not have delays on the metropolitan, the bus interchange itself, so it would still go ahead next year. Plus, we have an alternative source of income to fund other projects without having to rely on the strained general rates for Manukau, Southern Auckland and the local board. And we would have got a transit-orientated development that council could have controlled strictly through its development CCO, as it can't once it kicks it out to a private developer through on land that it no longer owns, that is the council. And the positive consequence of this is that the Todd development, which would have been completed by, well, the bus interchange would have been completed by end of 2015, the full Todd itself would have been completed by 2017. That would have provided the spark to kick off the wider urban renewal inside the Manukau City Centre area, which means by the time the master plan was developed in 3.1, it means everything else in the projects and initiatives for Kimu 3 could have taken off, especially 3.4, which was a continued stage development of Hayman Park to incorporate the Te Papa plans, although Identity Papa would be built on Lot 59. And it would have allowed some of the aspiration projects to be brought forward into the funded list, such as implementing streetscape improvements into Putney Way and creating a landscape pedestrian spine connecting Hayman Park to Manukau Square, which I mentioned yesterday in part in yesterday's podcast on the walkthrough for Lot 59. It would have allowed to transform the Romwood Avenue into a main street with flanking developments around it, and Manukau Station Road into a city boulevard balancing vehicle and pedestrian movement with a wide landscaped public street and buildings activating on the streets. Now, the Todd would have allowed that in a more controlled manner, which the council's now just lost, is 3.11 in the adopted version today, can technically not happen. And it would have also, in due time, because of the wide medians, allowed SkyTrain to be built around the 2025 mark. And, of course, 3.12, it would have allowed opportunities to link the Manukau City Centre to the Wero project, which includes whitewater rafting, the art gallery, cafe, office and classroom spaces. This is down at the the Vodafone Events Centre. And although that, of course, that would have had to be done in coordination with the Manuera local board, because that's their area. Anything south of State Highway 20 is theirs. But the point being that without the Todd development, not only does council lose a source of continuous funding if it held on to the land, but it also misses the starting project, which to give life into 3.1, the master plan, which includes future development of Hayman Park, which is mentioned in 3.5, a Wrongwood Avenue, which is mentioned in 3.11, and Cavendish Drive, not mentioned here, but it would have been done later on, but it would have allowed the funding and development for those to occur in due time, because you need something to start, and the Todd development would have started it. So effectively, through just one little point, 3.2, and then abandoning the Todd, and also through selling the land and not hanging on to it, thus denying yourself a source of continuous revenue as well as full urban design control, council, through this version of the area plan that is up for adoption today and should be rejected, have basically bottled and abandoned the future of South Auckland, and something the Auckland Development CCO could have done in coordination with the community of all of Southern Auckland and the local boards under the IAP2 public participation spectrum, which I've mentioned before, under the collaboration arm, which is to partner with the public in each aspect of the decision, including development of alternatives and identification of the preferred solution, with the promise we will work together with you to formulate the solutions and incorporate your advice and recommendations into the decisions to the maximum extent possible. Well, that's been totally lost, because the area plan technically only went under an informed side, which was basically help us to understand and keeping us informed the consultation wasn't true. And so, again, Southern Auckland has been technically abandoned, and Southern Auckland has basically lost opportunities to use the new development CCO to spearhead urban renewal projects, which would have done through starting with the Todd before expanding out into the other projects and aspirations for Key Move 3. And so we've been left with short-sightedness again. So my recommendation to the Auckland Development Committee, I know it's going to hurt the local board and the planners, but I would call to reject the plan and not abandon it, but reject it, shelve it until September next year, and then dust it off and redo the whole thing again under the collaboration side, alongside with the new Auckland Development, the Development Auckland CCO partnering up with the public and the stakeholders and the local boards. And we do this again to give us Key Move 3 properly, which is to transition Manukau from a city centre into a vibrant metropolitan centre, in other words, into an absolutely vibrant city centre for the 21st century. So please, Council, if you do consider the South, especially with mayoral candidates being mentioned today, reject the area plan with the condition that it is shelved until September next year. We take it off the shelves in September and we work it through it again with the development CCO, the local boards, and all of the public and businesses in Southern Auckland doing it again for Key Move 3 on the collaboration side per the IAP2's public participation spectrum, for the sake and for the sanctity and for the economic powerhouse and for the intelligent and for the people of Southern Auckland, because this area plan that gets adopted today belittles the intelligence and the collective willpower and cattle of Southern Auckland. So you could basically say shame on council if you adopt this plan today.